In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The memory is still fresh in our minds. Last Thursday, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, we can still picture the beautiful spectacle of the solemn Mass with the procession of the Blessed Sacrament down historic Mitchell Street. We can still smell the incense. We still hear the hymns that the choir sang in honor of the Holy Eucharist. We see the flowers scattered on the route and the striking contrast of this secular world sanctified once more by the passing presence of the sacred. Today, Holy Mother Church is fresh off the heels of this beautiful feast day. She presents to our consideration the Gospel of the Great Banquet. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many, for everything is now ready. This man is none other than the Maker of all things and the Father of glory, says Saint Cyril of Alexandria. The Son of God has shone upon us, and enduring death for our sakes, has given us his own body to eat. Hence also the lamb was sacrificed in the evening, according to the Mosaic law. Rightly then was the banquet which was prepared in Christ called a supper. To this divine banquet, then, we are all invited. God invites all members of his church to join in the feast. And to his joy, we see here many at the communion rail waiting to receive him. But have we asked ourselves recently, why do we go to communion? Why do we approach the communion rail to receive the sacrament? Our holy patron, St. Francis de Sales, reminds us gently of the answer. Your main intention in communion, he tells us, should be to grow, to strengthen, and to abound in the love of God, to receive, for love's sake, that which love alone gives you. It is with this intention in mind that we then have a goal. We have this intention, this reason which orients our preparation for the worthy and fruitful reception of this sacrament. Part of this preparation for Holy Communion is to empty our hearts of everything so that our Lord Jesus Christ might refill it with himself, continues the saint in a conference he gave to the Visitation Sisters. The reason why we do not receive the grace of sanctification, he continues, arises from nothing other than the fact that we do not allow our Lord to reign in ourselves as his divine goodness truly wants to. This well-beloved of ours enters within us and finds our hearts full of desires, affections, and petty wants. He wants to be the master and ruler of our hearts. But alas, all the nooks and crannies of our hearts are filled with a thousand kinds of things, unworthy of being in the presence of the sovereign king. These seem to bind his hands, prevent him from leaving for us the goods and graces that his goodness wanted to give us if he would have found us prepared. Dear faithful, this does not remind you of those who were invited to the great banquet in today's gospel. We think of the first invitee who said to the servant, "I have bought a field and I must go out to see it," or to the other who said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen," or the other who said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." These persons who rejected the invitation to partake of the feast represent the various distractions which can lead our soul away from fully taking part in this Eucharistic banquet by being distracted in more earthly cares and worries. These three rejections embody the three things of the world according to Saint John: the concupiscence of the flesh, for the one who said, "I have married a wife," the concupiscence of the eyes, for the one saying, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen," and the pride of life, for the one saying, "I have bought a farm." Indeed, let us approach this august sacrament of the Eucharist with a greater purity of intention, for we should remember that we were not the first choice to be invited to this banquet. After all, after being rebuffed by those who apparently had better things to do than to come to this banquet, the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant to go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the feeble, the blind, and the lame. Are we not the poor, the feeble, the blind, and the lame? Our spiritual experience is often a testimony to how weak we are when left to our own selves. Yet the knowledge of our weakness and our fragility should invite us all the more to approach this sacrament. There are two manner of men who need frequent communion, explains St. Francis de Sales, this doctor of charity. Those who are perfect because they come to the source and fountain of all perfection, and the imperfect that they may learn how to become perfect. The strong, lest they become weak, and the weak, lest they become, in the weak that they may become strong. The sick, that they may be healed, and the healthy, lest they become sick. And he tells us to tell those who ask why you receive communion that you, imperfect, weak, and ailing, need frequently to communicate with your perfection, your strength, and your physician. With these intentions in mind, we will approach the Eucharist with a greater fervor. Jesus wants to come and heal your souls, which desire rest and strength and encouragement. All we need to do is to give him room in our souls to do so. Let us then clear our souls of these unwanted thoughts and desires which bind his action as best we can. And when you have received him in the Eucharist, kindle your heart to adore the King of our salvation. Then we can ask in the quiet of our hearts, in the union with the prayers of today's Mass, for this sacrament to make us pure and day by day help us to live a more heavenly life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.